In the last 40 years, there's been a dramatic increase in obesity in the United States. Today, two-thirds of American adults are either overweight or obese. Obesity-related conditions include heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, and some cancers. In other words, some of the leading causes of preventable death. There is good news. Stay with us today and we'll share with you valuable resources that you can use to fight this epidemic in your home and in your community. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. I'm Dr. Nerida and I'm glad you've joined me today. Go Healthy for Good is live every Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and check out our website. It's hopetv.org/gohealthy. There you'll find all of our recipes and also watch our previous episodes for free. For the vast majority of individuals, overweight and obesity result from an imbalance of calorie consumption and physical activity. Unhealthy dietary habits and sedentary behavior together account for about 300,000 deaths every year in the United States alone. However, there's hope. We just need to make some simple changes, but we need to make them soon. Today, we're going to share with you Kerry's story. I hope it'll inspire you to make those changes. Let's watch the first part of her journey.
Dear Father, we thank you for another day of life, and we ask that you'll go with us on our walk this morning. Amen. I know that there are heavy people on both my father's side and my mother's side, but I remember growing up, I always feared being overweight. You know, I didn't want to be overweight. I was really concerned that if I didn't change things, that I was just an accident waiting to happen with different, what I thought would be different health problems.
There was one summer that was particularly hard where we had lost a child that I was carrying, and then my mother died, and then a grandmother, all within 5 weeks. And the weight kind of came on after that because I wasn't handling things well, and food was somewhat of a comfort.
My husband's a pastor, and I stand at the door with him every Sabbath as the people are coming out and greet them. And I just was really feeling like I didn't like the way I was looking. My weight had gotten heavier and heavier.
So I had prayed to the Lord. I said, I want to be representative of you in every way. And this is one area I don't feel like I am. At least if you look at me, it looks like I'm not.
I want to look like I'm healthy, you know?
Joining me today through Skype is Dr. Ali Kim, board-certified family medicine physician from Florida Hospital Celebration Health. Welcome, Dr. Kim.
Hi, glad to be here.
Good to have you. In the studio with me is Sean Chevalier, Bachelor of Biology and member of the National Academy of Sports Medicine, who runs Hard Body Outdoor Fitness in Maryland and also is our exercise expert on the show. Welcome to the comfy chairs, Sean.
Thank you for having me.
Now it's my turn.
Oh, I know the tables turn.
It does, it does. Dr. Kim, with such a high rate of overweight and obesity, are we at risk of normalizing the problem and thinking that overweight is normal and obese is simply overweight?
Well, actually, from experience, I have to agree with that. From my own practice, I can see that over the years, we compare ourselves to those around us, and as obesity rates are on the rise, we tend to justify us being overweight. And there actually is a study, a Gallup poll, that asked that question to people over the past 20 years or so. They were asked what their weight was and what their ideal weight would be for them. And around 1991 or so, if you can look at the table or the chart, you can see that it was around an average of 161 pounds per person, and they would say, oh, I should be probably 147 or so, and or 49 or so. And then just 20 years later, the same questions were asked, and it showed that their weight had gone up to 176 on average. But when asked, what do you think your ideal weight is? It was actually 162, which is higher than the average weight was in 1991. So the trend, as you can see, the graph, it goes up, 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 up. As obesity goes up, we tend to see the norm as being overweight, like you said. And maybe obesity, we say, oh, okay, obesity, that's just overweight. But really, really, it doesn't change. We are still human, and time doesn't really change that. We should be, the normal BMI, and should be healthy.
Yes, there's healthy and then there's not healthy, isn't there? But do some people even think that if they lost weight, they would look sick and perhaps ugly? You know, I know a lot of older ladies, they think, oh, if I lose weight, then I'll get wrinkles. Do you see
well,
that much?
I get this question very, very often, almost every day. And it's usually in men. They will always say, I don't want to lose weight because I'm gonna look sick, or I'm gonna look weak. My wife wouldn't like me if I looked skinny. And what I say to that is, well, if you just lose the weight, then you may look skinny, because if there's no muscle under there, then you will go down to the size of your muscle. But I don't really just focus on weight. I actually focus on gaining muscle, losing fat. So the adiposity is another term for obesity, I guess, where you have too much fat. So if you can look at, there's an image that I have of an MRI of a person's thigh, and if you look at it, you can see of a person that's a triathlete, he has very little fat. On an MRI, the fat appears white, and this image is actually an image of a sedentary 74-year-old man. Now, you can see white area is very thick compared when you compare the two. And it's really compelling, because when you look at it, you see the muscle quality of the 74-year-old. It's actually quite small, and it is actually infiltrated with fat. And it causes so much poor circulation. The muscle quality is not there. So, you know, if you do exercise initially, you'll be in pain, it won't work, the circulation won't be there, so you will get cramps. So basically, we want you to gain muscle, maintain the muscle you do have, and that's a 74-year-old. Now, there's another slide, the third one shows an image of a 74-year-old triathlete, and that just hopefully motivates us to really maintain that muscle, because it's not true, and there it is. It looks almost identical to the 40-year-old triathlete. So that it's just a motivation for us to continue exercising, so we can maintain that weight. And my favorite quote is that we don't stop exercising because we grow old. We grow old because we stop exercising.
That's right.
And so that's really the problem.
That's true. Now, Sean, what's the how active are Americans?
Well, we're becoming less active. I mean, over the last 20 years, I mean, there was an increase in about 83% of more sedentary jobs. So you got, I mean, people who are working from home, you know, on the computer at the same time, easily accessible to the fridge. Then people are working longer hours versus the 40-hour work week. They're now working 47 hours. So at the end of the year, that equates to, you know, 164 hours of additional work in a sedentary lifestyle. So, you know, it ranges between 10% to 43% of inactivity. So,
and that must be contributing to our obesity.
Absolutely.
Epidemic.
You know, we make poor choices, and those poor choices, you know, we pay in the long run. You know, BMIs are all skewed, our body weights are skewed, you know, increase for disease. But the little that we do over time, it builds up and increases chances for disease.
Right. And having a job that's active, actually, you don't have a choice. You have to be active.
Absolutely.
Because you need to take the paycheck
home. You have to.
Whereas now we sit to take the paycheck home.
And more than likely, many people are sitting for a long time, no break, no water, you know.
Right. Yeah. Dr. Kim, what is it about our environment, apart from the more sedentary activity that we have, that's so obesogenic? What are we doing that's different?
Well, I would say that in the society that we live in today, there's such an ample availability of food. So it's really accessible. And it's not just accessible, but when we do go to restaurants, when we do eat out, the portion sizes are very large. Of course, maybe, you know, over time, restaurants are competing with other restaurants, and they want to, you know, give bigger portion sizes so that you don't want to be less than the restaurant down the street, of course. So there's a lot of competition there. So it's just the environment we live in. Even plate sizes over the years. If you compare a plate size from the 1940s or 1800s to today, it is three times the size. And also even pizzas, and the normal pizza slice 30, 40 years ago was a lot smaller than it is today. So it's the environment we live in is not very conducive to trying to lose weight.
Right.
And also the content of the food that we eat as well. It also has a lot of fat. It has a lot of added sugar for taste as well.
So. Right. And I think, you know, the CDC has mapped out the incidence of things like diabetes and obesity over the years, and those maps are quite astounding, aren't they? And I think they reflect the size of our pizzas, and
yes.
as you say, our pizza slices.
Yeah. I mean, if you can look at the graph there, you can see this is just a year-by-year change, and as you can see, a new category had to be formed there because they're greater than... I believe 20% and 25% are obese, and then a new category, and as you see it towards the very end, it's quite amazing to see that some of the old categories don't exist anymore.
Right.
And as we get to today, it's pretty much all red. So.
Yeah, it's pretty scary looking at that. Yes. It really is very sobering. Now. Sean, I know you encourage people to exercise outdoors, but are our urban environments a barrier to us getting out and exercising? Is what are the barriers?
I think education. I mean, a lot of neighborhoods are, especially the urban neighborhoods, may not encourage going out and getting fresh air. There need to be more programs to kind of get kids, especially kids, to get out and be active. I'm from New York, and when I was in New York, I mean, I didn't hear about many outdoor programs until I came to Maryland. And now, you know, of course, all children are involved in soccer or anything outdoor. So just the availability, the education for outdoor clubs to get into these urban areas is very critical at this point, for sure.
Mm. Yeah, I like the way that you're bringing out about children. Dr. Kim, what are the complications associated with being over our ideal weight?
Well, there are plenty of complications. I would have to say the number one that I can think of is probably heart disease. It's the number one killer in the world, number one killer in America, by far. But I can't leave out the big three, which is diabetes, high blood pressure, and cholesterol. And those are very prevalent. We all know somebody with diabetes, high blood pressure, and cholesterol problems. And they are all related to high adiposity.
Right.
Of course, not to mention joint pain and back pain, sleep apnea, heartburn. The list goes on and on. I would have to say 80% of chronic diseases are probably related to, or more than 80%, to obesity.
Hmm. Well. And we're going to come up with a solution in the next segment. But in a minute, we'll join Justin in the kitchen. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
When Jesus built the church that he calls my church, he gave some special services, blessings, to those who are part of his church. This week on Hope Sabbath School, we'll talk about baptism and foot washing and the communion service. Profound blessings from our Savior to those who are part of His church. We hope you'll join us for Hope Sabbath School.
Forty 40% of children today in the U.S. are born to single mothers. What realities do single parents face, and what do they need?
Next time on Family Talk, we'll talk about single parenting and how the church can make a positive difference in the lives of these families. Join us.
Welcome back. Now, Justin's got something very special today to go with yesterday's gravy.
What have you got? Well, fluffy shortcake biscuits.
I hesitate
to call it fluffy, but I'm sure that they're quite delicious.
You don't use that word very often, do you?
I'm going to call them manly buttermilk or what? Shortcake.
There you go.
Manly shortcake biscuits.
Manly shortcake biscuits. All right, what's in them? What's so manly about them?
Well, let me just lay it on you.
All right.
It's a cup of whole wheat flour, a cup of oat flour, 3 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of sea salt, 1 tablespoon of brown sugar, 1/4 cup of oil, 3/4 cup of soy milk.
Mmm.
So?
Yeah, that sounds manly enough.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's got those whole grains.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. Okay, so there's
enough to fill a man's stomach.
That's right. So we've got dry ingredients and wet ingredients. And we're going to combine them in that order. So I've got my
sounds great
whole wheat flour here in the bowl.
All those goodies. I tell you one thing, we're talking about weight loss today.
Uh-huh.
So while you're working, I'm just going to chunter away here.
Okay,
but
chunter
you know,
away.
We think about being overweight. We think, oh no, we have to starve ourselves to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, when you put whole grains, you feel so full.
That's right.
And there's so much texture to chew on. So it feels good in the mouth, feels good in the belly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some healthy fats going in here. So it's going to give you that satiety that you're after.
Yes. So I've got whole wheat.
Whole wheat?
Whole wheat flour.
Yep.
Now this is whole wheat oat flour.
Right.
Whole oat flour.
And I guess if you don't have access to oat flour, you can just blend up quick oats and turn it into flour.
Same
thing.
Which
is real easy. That's often what I do.
Got a little baking powder here. We've got a little salt. And this is some called sucanat or also cane sugar.
Dried cane sugar.
Cane sugar, yeah. Put that in there. And the closer you can get your sugar to the sugar cane, the better off you are, right?
Yeah. Do you know how much sugar cane you need for, what was it, a teaspoon or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, you need a yard of sugar cane to make 1 teaspoon.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty highly processed.
Wow. You
ever chewed on a sugar cane?
I never have. I kind of like to try that, yeah?
Oh, it's nice. It's very nice.
That's cool.
One day when you go to the land of Oz, you can...
Okay.
Yeah.
That will happen.
That's Australia. Yes, it will happen.
I will get there.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll mix the wet ingredients now. We've got some oil in here.
Yep.
We've got some soy milk in here. We'll just whip those up.
Okay, there you go.
And now into the flour. Just stir this up here. Just want to stir it until it starts to stick together a little bit.
Mm. Now you're going to want to, knowing it's got all that baking powder, and you probably want to get the oven hot while you're preparing
so that
it's ready to go straight in and rise up nice and fluffy.
Nice and manly. Nice and manly.
Sorry. Now, this is the manly bit. You're supposed to have
the end with you
kneading it like
that. That's right. So, yeah, she makes a good point. Preheat the oven to 450. Before you get started, it'll be ready to go.
Right.
Just slide them right in there. So I'm going to get my man hands into this dough here.
Oh, that looks so nice.
And we're going to use your little trick here, which is put it between two sheets of cling wrap.
Since your hands are a little sticky, we're going to roll that out nicely. I love playing with cookie cutters. I guess I'm just into toys. Sean knows that when he comes on the set with toys for me to play with in the exercise set.
Oh, yeah.
I do get very excited.
Okay, now.
You want to do this?
Yeah, I do.
And I'll get this ready.
That's the magic of television, folks. Anything can happen. Okay.
Oh, you do that so well. Now you're going to have to lift them up.
Okay.
Oh, look at that. You've done this before.
Oh. And the parts in between, I'm just going to
eat them
straight in my mouth.
No wonder you didn't put the cookie cutter too close to each one, not too close to the next one. So you have more to eat before it goes in the oven.
Exactly.
Wow. This looks so pretty. That looks good enough to eat. Mm-hmm. Now, why do Americans eat biscuits and gravy for breakfast?
You got me.
You know, it was one of the mysteries when I arrived in your wonderful land.
Well, it's probably...
What's biscuits and gravy? And
probably the same reason...
Breakfast.
You eat beans for breakfast.
Well,
beans and toast?
That's true.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, this is true. And then you pop it in the oven for 10 to
10 minutes. 10 minutes.
That's quick. Well, shall we?
Let's. So this is the gravy we made yesterday.
It is.
Oh, thank you.
Here you go.
Anoint my biscuit with gravy.
Yes.
Ding.
Cheers. May it not run over.
That is downright tasty.
Don't you think they're fluffy?
I must admit that they're fluffy.
They're fluffy. Well, thank you, Justin. He finally admitted that they're fluffy. Now let's go back to Carrie's story and watch the second part.
I know I have to admit to myself that there is a problem, for one thing. I had to be real with the Lord about what's going on. I asked him. You know, that's what started it. I asked him. I said, here's where I am. I don't like this. I believe, you know, this isn't what you want for me and that you will help me. So you're going to have to show me. So as he shows me, I have to be willing to do whatever it is he says. And he said, Carrie, you said you don't eat in between meals, but that's not exactly true. So I said, okay, well, what am I going to do about that?
So I decided to buy some sugar-free gum so that if it was hard and I was tempted, I would chew that instead. I figured 5 calories was way better than, you know, a whole bunch. And then it didn't seem to be hard anymore once I got past a few days of leaving it off. But then my husband, he comes home and he says, you know, I've missed supper the last 3 days in a row because of meetings and stuff, and I never got to come home. I think maybe I'll try 2 meals. And I said, okay. Didn't really think anything of it.
So that meant for 2 weeks I was eating supper alone. And then it was almost like I feel like I got hit over the head. It finally dawned on me, the light bulb comes on, and it was like, Carrie, out of everybody in the family that could benefit from a 2-meal plan, it's you. I thought, that's true. So I stopped eating supper.
You know, I am so glad that God doesn't show us everything at once, because then it would be overwhelming.
But the walking has really helped.
Since April 15, today's day 251, I haven't missed a day. Every day I've gotten in more than 10,000 steps, 7.5, 8 miles. So I get up early, have a little quiet time with the Lord, and then I go meet Doris, and we walk for an hour and a half.
Sometimes we get carried away and we do 12 to 15. Sometimes she can average, 20,000 a day?
Uh-huh. I had 18 yesterday.
I want to use the 8 natural laws and work in cooperation with my body.
Let's say it, Carrie. We know it.
Nutrition.
Exercise.
Water.
Sunshine.
Temperance.
Air.
Rest.
And trust
in divine,
power.
When you think about losing weight, you hear all kinds of gimmicks and ways to help you lose weight. It's tempting, you know, you want to get it off, but I have decided that I don't want to do anything that I'm not willing to do. If this is a lifestyle change, then I don't want to do anything that I'm not willing to do for the rest of my life.
Wow, Sean, 100 and whatever days of just going at it. How would you like someone to stick with Hard Body Outdoor Fitness for that many days?
I would
days?
Love it. They do.
They do, I know. I've been there. I've seen it. Now, you run a program that's particularly geared for weight loss.
It is.
What do you notice that heavy people particularly have barriers to coming along to a class like that?
They feel excluded. I mean, in terms of, you know, the size, the movement, feel like certain exercises that everybody else can do, they can't do.
And yeah, because like pull-ups, you've got to pull your body weight.
It's a lot of body weight, so a lot of modifications that we do have to provide just for people to feel, you know, included in the group.
So it is nice to have a group that's specifically devised for heavy people, because those modifications are there. They're not pointed out.
Absolutely.
You're different.
But then you also have those folks who are so motivated, you know, that whatever you tell them that this is a group specific for obese people, they say, no, I want to be with everybody else. So that's a motivator for them. Mm. And you have some people who really make big differences because they see what they would like to be like. And then they
all around them in the
absolutely.
Class, you mean?
So that gives them the motivation that they need. And that's what typically a lot of people who are overweight lack, the motivation, the inspiration to get up and work out. So seeing someone who you aspire to be like is definitely a motivator.
Hmm. And I love the way that you as a leader actually role model for people. Now, Dr. Kim, does it matter where we carry the fat?
I would say yes, of course. Actually, there's a misconception of this. Some people believe that, I guess, the fat that's under your arm or the rolls maybe on your side or on your legs are more dangerous to our bodies. But in fact, it's actually the fat that's within our belly. So it's actually called, we call it belly fat in one way, or we can also say organ fat. And that is definitely the most dangerous type of fat. Men tend to carry it there more, but women do as well.
Mm. So men tend to carry the central fat, the organ fat. Is that what you're saying?
Mm. Yes. Yep. And yes, it's mainly hormonal, but like I said, there are things you can do to, of course, change that, even if you're a woman.
And if you carry that central obesity, if you have the central obesity, what health impact does that have? When we say, does it matter? Is what makes it worse? What does it carry the risk factors for?
Well, it actually, there's a thing called the omentum. It's like momentum without the M, and that's where the fat is inside there. That surrounds all the organs in your abdomen area. And remember those three diseases that I mentioned, the big three, diabetes, high blood pressure, and cholesterol? Well, if you can just imagine, and that picture that we saw of that thigh where the fat was infiltrating the muscle even, well, fat tends to infiltrate and tends to put pressure on organs as well in the belly. So if you can imagine what's there, there's a large organ called the liver, and the liver is where we process cholesterol. So you have a lot of adiposity there, you will have cholesterol problems. Pressure on the pancreas, where what is that process? The insulin or the sugar, so that secretes insulin, so causes problems with insulin regulation, so leads to diabetes. And then thirdly, your kidneys are there as well, so that is what regulates our blood pressure. So that's why it is completely connected with these diseases, especially organ fat or belly fat.
I love how you put those three organs together. That's great. Now, Sean, you do, for your clients, you offer body fat assessment periodically as they go through the progress. They can map their progress. Yeah. So how do you do that?
I use a caliper, body fat caliper. There are different ways you can use this. I mean, there are different calculations. I use what you call the Jackson-Pollock method. Mm-hmm. It is basically a caliper to measure the millimeters of fat when it's pulled away from the muscle. So you squeeze the fat, you pull it in. I know it sounds kind of interesting, but you squeeze the fat and you pull it away from the muscle, and you're taking that diameter of what the millimeters are. And then for each location, you do your mid-axillary, your chest, your superiliac, your abdominal area, your thighs, your triceps, and your subscapular area. And there's a calculation that you do just to get what that body fat percentage is. In addition to, you get your lean body mass. So you see what the percentage of body fat is, and the leftover should be your lean body mass.
Yeah, which is your muscle
and
muscle and bone, basically,
exactly.
Isn't it? Of course, some organs there. And it must be very encouraging for people to see their percentage body fat go down. Do you ever see that their weight doesn't change a whole lot, but their percentage body fat does?
Absolutely, we see it.
because muscle is heavier than
it is.
Right.
I did have a client who thought, you know, they weren't losing any weight at all. And I said, you just got to be encouraged that your body is going through this transformation. And, you know, their clothes were fitting differently, and they realized their body composition was changing. And when we redid it, she did lose 15% of wow. body fat. And you see the body fat lost in areas like your arm first, or the subscapular area, which is right underneath that subscapular bone. So areas where the fat is less, that tends to go a little bit faster. But the more stubborn areas like your abdominal, the supra-iliac area, which is troublesome, takes a little bit more work, and you see that toward the end.
Well, coming up, Sean and I are going to get into some partner exercise that will help us to live healthier. But first, let's take a look at today's medical news report. In the headlines today, vegans 30 pounds lighter, shirt size predicts coronary heart disease, and the fastest way to weight loss. Early findings from the Adventist Health Study shows that a vegetarian diet can extend life expectancy. Vegetarian men live 4.5 years longer than non-vegetarian men, and vegetarian women live 6 years longer than non-vegetarian women. A vegan diet is said to be healthful and associated with a body weight on average 30 pounds lighter than that of meat eaters, and carries a lower risk of diabetes compared with diets that include animal products. This study is ongoing and includes more than 96,000 participants. A study of patients with heart disease was done to find out which measure of excess weight was the best predictor of coronary atherosclerosis. Researchers adjusted for age, gender, education, smoking, hypertension, cholesterol, diabetes, and body mass index. An elevated waist-hip ratio increased the chance of coronary artery disease by 4 times, and an elevated neck circumference doubled it. So it's not just how heavy you are, it's also where you carry the extra weight on the outside that predicts what's happening on the inside. It is known that fasting 1 day a week facilitates weight loss and improves coronary heart disease risk indicators. A study recently published in the Journal of Nutrition shows that intermittent fasting combined with calorie restriction and liquid meal replacement is an effective strategy to help obese women lose weight and lower their coronary heart disease risk. So if you want to see results fast, consider fasting 1 day a week and having a juice or soup in the evenings instead of a large meal. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's medical news report.
All around the world, Seventh-day Adventists are reading one chapter of the Bible per day. We call it Revived by His Word. Please join in and visit the Revived by His Word website. Open today's reading and read the accompanying blog. Add your comments or read the comments of others. Get the Google Calendar to remind you, or download the printable calendar of the reading program. Learn more about Revived by His Word and how you can tell others about this project.
Welcome back to Go Healthy for Good. Sean, what's our exercise today? Do we have partners today?
We were going to do some partner exercises, but I was so motivated by this topic that I said, you know, let's do something to get folks out of bed and do some simple exercises for those who are, you know, maybe a little bit obese and want to get a little bit encouraged and do something.
Great.
Okay, like so that. Let's start with a little warm-up. Mm. Okay? We can do butt kicks, all right? You're just going to keep... Point your knees down and pick your heel to your butt. Very light. You could, if you want to, you could also run in place. But all I want you to do is stretch out those quads. We're going to use those quads a little bit.
You can do this.
Yes, you can. Now, if you're going to do that, I expect that you bring your heel as far up towards your backside
as possible to stretch out that quad.
And really, right? get your thigh and your calf to really.
Exactly. All right. So you can do that for about 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. The next one is putting your arms out and keeping your eyes forward and twist. Okay. You may feel your back go crack, crack, crack.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Feeling.
But it's a good way to prepare your body for movement. Okay. You can do this until you feel your body is nice and warm. You can mix it up a little bit and pause here a little bit. Make sure you breathe. Get the body ready for movement. The last thing you want to do is move too fast and mess something up. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So the first exercise, what we're going to do is, Dr. Narada, you can hold the weight. Because last time I held the weight.
Is that right?
Yep. All right. We're going to lean forward a little bit. All right. Work in that back area, right? Let the weight hang. Okay. All I want you to do is push it back. Keep the arm straight and push back. All right. You'll feel your triceps engage and you'll feel that scapular area that we were talking about earlier engage a bit. You squeeze as if the weight is going to come together. Okay. Back down and back up. All right. All the way down. So you can do this for about 10 to 15 reps and you're going to feel it right in that rear delt,
yes,
the tricep. And that back, all right?
Because you
squeeze.
Don't often do this.
You don't.
Every
you don't.
Sort of basis, yeah.
So we're using 5 pounds here. Keep on going. And what I want you to do is every time you get to the top here, squeeze this weight together. Back up and squeeze. Again, you're going to feel that back engage a little bit, all right? Now, to complement that, we're going to drop that for a second, do some cardio exercise, all right?
All right.
I'll hold the weight this time. I won't torture you. All right. We'll squat down. All right. Pretend like you're boxing. All right. You're running from somebody or something. Yeah. All right. And all I want you to do is put a timer on and keep going.
The I'm legs. Not quite close enough.
Give me some motivation. There you go. So what I want you to do is do this for about 30 seconds. Now your legs will start to burn a little bit. So what I want you to do, let's say 10, 9, 8. Oh, she's hitting me. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. We're going to drop that weight, or we can hold on to it. So, all right. And what we're going to do is stand up and pick a leg up. And pick the other side. All right. Work on the outside. So this is a great way to superset that quadricep exercise. Work in the arms. And then supersetting and, you know, work in the legs as well.
Right.
What you can do, keep on going, is kick forward. All right. Now, if you can't get your leg up as high, just kick.
I know why you made me do the sideways kicks.
It burns a little bit. I know my legs are burning a little bit.
Yep, they are.
There you go. All right, so shake it out. Okay? So what I want you to do is, if you had those three exercises, all right, here, 30 seconds.
Yep.
All right, jabbing as fast as you can for 30 seconds.
Yep.
And then you can hold onto that weight and squat and stand up. All right?
Right.
You keep that going for about 5-6 minutes. Oh, you get a nice burn. Oh, you get a burn.
Yeah.
You see, I'm a little bit out of breath, right?
You're burning, you're building muscle.
Absolutely.
Little by little.
And you use some substantial weight. I mean, you want to be able to burn some calories. So use some weight that will give you a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah.
How you feel?
Good.
Good. We should go again?
I think we should perhaps
Let's
do some stretches.
So we started with the butt kick, right?
Yep.
What I want you to do is point that knee down. The legs are nice and tight.
Mm-hmm.
Point that knee down. Keep it in towards your other knee. And you're bringing that heel all the way up.
Right.
But what I want you to do at this point is push your hip forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's elongating from here, from that hip, all the way down to the end of your quad, by your knee.
All right.
Okay? And then switch sides. This is what I do in class when I'm losing my balance and I don't want to put my foot down.
Yeah, you say, rest on your buddy.
Rest on your buddy.
I'm resting on my buddy.
There you go. So I got to improvise, you know. There it is. Shake it out. And what you could do is self-massage. If you feel a little bit of a burn, just massage it out a little bit. Same thing like foam rolling. One day we'll do a session on foam rolling just so people know how to remedy some soreness.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Excellent. Oh, very good. Well, thanks, Sean.
You're very welcome.
I'll see you over there.
Oh, yeah, that seat is very comfy.
In just a moment, I'm going to answer some of your questions that you've sent to me during previous shows. But first, here's another Ageless Advantage spot.
Do you want to avoid gaining weight as you age? A recent physician's health study may have found the answer you need. Whole grains. The study observed men for 8 years. They found that for every extra 40 grams of whole grains eaten, the men weighed 2.5 pounds less. What exactly is 40 grams? A slice and a half of whole wheat toast or 8 whole grain crackers. Enjoying whole grains is another ageless advantage.
We've got a great offer. If you call now, you get to ask Sean all those hard questions that you've longed to ask him all these weeks, and also Dr. Kim. But, you know, if you call now, ask us a question about weight loss during our live broadcast, we'll send you this beautiful book for free. So call us now, 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325 for a lovely copy of this book worth $20. And if you're calling from overseas or texting your question, the number's 301-960-5144. Or Facebook your questions while we're here live on air. The free book offer is restricted to viewers of our live show here in the United States. Now, if you've missed a previous episode, you want to download one of our recipes, then visit our website, hopetv.org/gohealthy. And we're also in iTunes. Just look for our free app and get our video podcasts there. So thanks for your comments, your questions on Facebook, and let's have a look at some now. Susan posted on Facebook, I watched, and she just posted this today, I watched your very first show, which, by the way, was on diabetes. And I was about the 20th person to join your site. I had problems with cholesterol, glucose, and high blood pressure, but I got free screening yesterday. My pressure is good. My cholesterol is 164. My glucose is 96. It hasn't been that low for so long. Thank you for your help. Your show's been a real blessing for me, and I'm on... And then she goes on to say, I'm on a medication now for uric acid levels that are raised. I don't drink, I don't eat a lot of fish. I suspect the reason why mine's high is due to the statin medications I'm on. Of course, that would be for your cholesterol. And she says, I've never had a problem with uric acid until I took the statin. Could there be a link? Susan, in fact, statins have been shown to lower uric acid levels. But the uric acid levels rises as part of a whole syndrome, which we call metabolic syndrome, which we will be covering in the new year. So that's all part of the same thing. And I suspect that as your cholesterol and your blood pressure and glucose go down, your uric acid will also go down. So that's good news. We had a caller who said, how do I treat diabetic neuropathy, which we covered a little bit last night? Well, this neuropathy is nerve damage as a result of those high sugars in your bloodstream. And so you want to stop that damage. Get good control of your blood glucose. Try and keep it well within normal range with your medication, with your diet, with exercise, whatever it is that you're doing, but really step it up. And the other thing is, nerve damage or cellular damage, you need antioxidants. So all of those fruits and vegetables and the alpha-lipoic acid are all powerful antioxidants that are going to help repair that damage. So great question. Anna from Texas called, I'm overweight, was recently diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. What is your advice on what to eat for breakfast, lunch and dinner? I love fruit, but they seem to raise my sugar level. What do you recommend? Great question, Anna. I don't know where to start with this one, but let me start. I'd encourage you to think about a plant-based diet, and that will be a big help. And I've seen people just going onto a plant-based diet, their diabetes reverses remarkably quickly. For breakfast, I'd recommend cooked whole cereal. It has lots of fiber. Perhaps have a nut milk with that, because then you'll get your protein and your fat, and they're healthy proteins, healthy fats. We know that people that have nuts most days of the week have half the risk of heart disease. Diabetics have twice the risk. So, you know, you can at least get it back to normal. You're going to want to think about exercise in there too. Lunch, vegetables. There's no upper limit for how much vegetables you can eat, even as a diabetic. So get into those veggies. Oh, by the way, for breakfast, that's when you'd want to have your fruit. You can have 3 fruit for breakfast. Just watch that they're not fruit that don't have any fiber. If you mash a watermelon, there's nothing left. It's all juice. That's a fruit that you probably wouldn't want to have very much of as a diabetic. But you think about a pear. You mash a pear, it's a lot of fiber. Papaya, pineapple. So don't have a whole pineapple. But, you know, go steady. But have 3 or 4 servings of fruit for breakfast. For lunch, do the veggies. You might want to get your fat from tofu or nuts. Supper, make it small. That's the secret. Great questions. Thanks for sending them. If you have a question on weight loss, our number is 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Now let's look at the end of Kerry's story. She's very honest about how she sees her future. Let's have a look.
2 articles of clothing that I kept from when I was my heaviest was the dress that I wore to church every Sabbath and my coat. And I remember sitting up at a campfire in August at Winyoni in this coat, and I could barely get it done up, and I remember thinking, I gotta do something because I don't have any other coat. I can kind of see all this, you know, inches that I've lost, and it's way to measure. So when I had the 66 pounds off and my daughter was around she'd gotten home from working at summer camp that summer, I said, I think we could both get in this dress. You want to try? And we did. So we had a couple pictures of us in the dress together. And it was just kind of fun to see how far I had come, that I could actually get another person in there with me. This was the dress that I could then wear. And instead of a 20, it was an 8. And so looked and felt at that time much better, and I still do, and I'm looking forward to seeing it improve even more.
When you walk like that, I have a lot more energy, and I have not had even a cold or anything for, it'll be 2 years, this is December, so in 2 more months, 2 years ago, I had a cold. That was the last cold I had. I wish it hadn't taken as long. This has been a journey. It is a journey, though. I'm not trying to be a stick or anything. I'm just trying to be the right weight for my height and bone structure. And I remember joking with my sister-in-law when I was looking at the chart, when I realized I was no longer obese. I'm going, yay, I'm overweight. I'm overweight. I said that would sound funny to everybody if I'm doing that. But it was such a good feeling, because before, you know, you were so heavy that you're classed obese. So I'm not obese, I'm overweight, and gonna get where I'm supposed to be, and then I'm gonna stay there because I'm gonna do this the rest of my life.
That's awesome. Overweight party.
Yeah.
That's great.
Very encouraging.
Dr. Kim, we were talking about fat distribution and having that central obesity. Are there ways that we can actually shift our fat distribution?
Well, the main thing we can do is probably just decrease what is contributing to central fat distribution. Mainly it's from sugars, or processed sugars, I should say, or processed carbohydrates tend to stick or increase the central fat. Also, I guess it would be, what people don't realize is actually cortisol levels, which is another name for cortisol, is the fat hormone or the stress hormone, is when we have too much stress, it increases our cortisol, and that's a hormone that contributes to central fat distribution. So, and then the other thing is that's related with cortisol is sleep. When you have lack of sleep, that throws off your cortisol levels, and that also contributes to that as well.
Right. So sleep, stress, and sugar, all the S's. I'm rolling sugar together there, because it's all the processed. So even the processed grains will tend to cause central obesity. So thank you for that. Sean, you're doing a 30-day challenge right now.
I am. It starts on December 1st. And
what does it involve for people?
It is, you know, I hear it every time, January 1st, that my goal is to lose some X amount of weight. So I figured, why not get started a little bit earlier? December 1st is the new January 1st. And go into the new year with good habits, with healthy habits, and teaching people how to take those comfort foods, those Twinkies, and replacing them with other foods that may satiate that sugar hunger. So for the 30 days, I'm going to provide some workouts. I'm going to provide some advice, just so that when January 1st comes, you are ready ahead of the game. And if you don't realize, I mean, by February, March, you know, the gyms were packed, and then it tends to get a little bit more empty. Mm. And I think that is attributed to people not really defining what their health goals are.
Right.
So through this time, you know, they define their goals and stick with it.
Sounds good. Well, we've got some callers on the line. Sharon from Florida. Sharon, welcome to Go Healthy. What's your question for my experts this evening?
Hi, thank you. Yes, I was wondering, what is the good weight range for someone who is 42, about 5'7", and female?
All right. You've given us the exact statistics that you need. Sean, do you know the answer to that? Without looking at a chart, I must say, I'm at a bit of a loss to say how many pounds you should be. But if you hop on the internet, you don't know off the top of your head.
I don't know the top of my head.
If you get on the internet and look for BMI, Body Mass Index, they will ask you exactly for that. Those three pieces of information you've just given us, and then Sharon, you can actually look at exactly how much you should weigh. There should be a range with a BMI of 20 to 25. It'll give you a lower range and upper range of what would be normal. Now we've got Eunice from Florida. The Floridians are calling in this evening. Dr. Kim, you must have a fan club down there. Eunice, what's your question for us this evening?
I'm 82 years old, and I have a diabetes, and also I have a high blood pressure also, but I'm trying to stay away from sugar, and I'm trying to eat more grains, and I make my own bread sometimes. When I can, I buy whole wheat.
Good.
My blood pressure is very strange. It's the higher one is systolic, right?
Right.
That one is high. Usually the lower diastolic is usually pretty good, pretty low. And so my doctor gave me some medication when I check my blood pressure twice. In the morning, in the evening, and when I'm taking the medication, I'm taking for cholesterol because I have a triglycerides.
Right, Eunice. It sounds like you have, again, similar to my previous question, metabolic syndrome, and so this is a link with diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, high cholesterol, and those are all clustered together. And exercise is a really, I think Sean will agree, exercise is really important. And it's going to normalize blood pressure, is it not?
It will. I mean, you have to continue moving just to keep that body moving and keep it regulated. Mm. I mean, if you just 30 minutes a day helps with regulating it.
Great. Now, Dr. Kim, tell us what and when we should eat.
Well, that's a very good question. I would have to say, I think you already touched on this earlier, that breakfast is very important, and a smaller dinner is very important. So, and I'm sure we've heard from maybe our parents or from our friends that we should eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper. And that is very valid. It's we need to start our engine in the morning. So we are in breakfast is where we break our fast, right? So if we don't break our fast, we're going to be in a fasting mode. And when we're in a fasting mode, we tend to store fat. So we cannot skip breakfast. And it should be a good, healthy and strong breakfast. And another little tip for people who are diabetic, if you do eat sugars or fruits, like you did say, eat fruits in the morning, well, why? Because actually our body, insulin doesn't work as well in the evening. So therefore, try not to eat the carbs in the evening. And have more in the morning. Of course, another tip is when to eat is don't eat late. If you're going to eat a small meal for dinner, that's great, but don't eat late. Don't eat right before you go to bed. It should be at least 3 to 4 hours delay before you go to bed, between eating and going to bed. And of course, if you're going to snack, which you don't necessarily need to snack, but and I know we hear that a lot on the news and the media, but the problem is we tell people to eat snacks, and what happens is we end up adding more calories to the day. So I would say if you eat snacks, eat a lot of fruits, veggies, carrot sticks, a banana, something that's low calorie, high fiber, high fill factor with low calories.
Great. And what would you eat for supper?
Well, it could be something light. Like you said, you can even do you can start juice some a kale, lemon, and ginger cocktail. You can find many different recipes online. You can do a healthy soup with a little bit of bread or something light, nothing too heavy. And but the main thing is the portion size. I don't really
Portions are very important, aren't they? And as you mentioned before, you know, our pizza size is going up, our plate size is going up. So portions we have to be very aware of when we're... And I love the way that he's saying about the liquid meal in the evening.
I love it. I mean,
yeah, we could even make spinach ice cream, couldn't we?
The green monster, right?
The green monster. Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Kim and Sean. It's been wonderful having you on the show today. Friends, if you're overweight, don't despair. You can turn it around. Set yourself a schedule built around getting 9 hours sleep. That's really important. Add in your activity program. Aim 45 to 60 minutes, a day. Not necessarily all at once. You can make it a mixture, though, of muscle building and cardio and split it up during the day. Eliminate the snacks. Drink only water between meals. When you're looking at your menu, it's breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and supper like a pauper. And remember, you can eat as many raw or steamed veggies as your heart desires. Maybe even more than your heart desires, but portion size is important for everything else that you eat. Be sure to have some healthy fats in every meal so that you feel satisfied. Remember, moderation and all the good things. You might even consider fasting once a week or so, but it's not absolutely necessary. Well, thanks for joining us on Go Healthy for Good, and we'll see you next time.